In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
We'll do that. And we are recording.
Oh. That's good.
Welcome back. We have lots of serious things we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Like global warming. Sorry, got off topic there. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. Mm-hmm. The only podcast with inside jokes. Really, no other podcast has any inside jokes.
Nope.
Just us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to share.
No.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 67.
Episode 67. He knows that not because he remembered for a week.
Nope.
But because we're recording this like 10 minutes after the last one.
Yep.
So, remember the last episode? So do we.
Yep. Not that long ago.
No. But here we are now. We are doing this because it's somebody's birthday. And William wants to go party, party, party.
Next week. A week from today.
Yes. Or today for y'all.
Yes, that's right. Today.
But a week from...
Now, you know, the midsummer, the summer solstice would have been just the day before, I believe.
I don't remember what day it is.
I think it's the 20th this year, so
this is airing the 21st. Our work is actually doing something with that. They're doing a deal where you can buy a cheap composter on that day.
On the solstice day?
Yeah.
I think that's the 20th. I think that'll be Wednesday.
Okay. Ah! Where did this come from? Ezzy's still here.
Well, when a boy cat and a girl cat love each other.
I don't think this was the product of love. Ezzy was the product of a cold and unfeeling universe. But a very cute universe. For those of you who are just joining us, even though this is like part two of a two-part episode. previously on the Magical Talking Hat. We made Xylons. They evolved. Okay.
And they have a plan.
They have a plan. I hate that. I'm now in, like, third season, and I don't feel like they have a plan.
Yeah, anymore. I know.
I'm like, they had a plan. They told us what it was, and they did it. And now nobody has a plan.
That's right.
It's
nobody has a plan.
Kind of the focus of this season.
They're just making it all.
So I'm like, so why do you keep telling me they have a plan? I don't think they do. Anyway, the point of this show is we have a hat that has its own email address. And so when you people write it, email it with questions and topics, we talk about them till we get bored.
Right, because it answers its email and it puts them on these little pieces of paper and it fills itself with them. And we go reach into the hat, draw out these little slips of paper. They
at
have
random.
Your comments and questions on them.
Yes
at random. We don't know what we're going to draw.
And then we talk about them till we get bored.
It's amazing.
I cease to be as amazed by it as William is, but William's still amazed.
I never cease to be amazed.
So last week, we talked about William's week.
And since we didn't really have a week between that one and this one, we're going to talk about Tony's week. So, go away.
No, ask me.
Uh-oh, how was your week?
Thanks for asking. My week was okay. Went to roller derby.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's the big thing we're going to talk about this week.
Yes.
You know, I'm still really fascinated by the notion that anyone who's actually in roller derby was fascinated by our conversation about it, because I think...
I was fascinated by this whole thing, because here's the thing.
Because I think I probably sound like an idiot, so why wouldn't they just say...
We post it. I post it, and I do all my usual things on Facebook and on Twitter and say, it's here. And then I put out a thing, and I said, and I tagged... Old Capital City Roller Girls in it. And I said, fans of this might want to listen to this episode because we talk a fair bit about
you
roller
did that. Ah, oh, that's so
and
embarrassing.
The local team in particular. That's it's called advertising.
I know, but I was the one doing most of the talking, and I don't even really know what I'm talking
but
about.
Here is the thing: not only did that happen, and Old Capital Roller Girl account retweeted it.
Oh golly!
But
great.
They have a Twitter feed on their website of mentions, and there weren't a lot at the time. So that tweet with the link to the show was sitting on their website for most of the day.
Okay, well, I guess that's
and
good.
We got at least one person who showed up from there to our site.
Well, and again, that's great and everything, but I'm mostly talking and totally out of my butt
and
about
they were
roller
into it.
Yeah, but what do I know?
And they're into it, and they said we should get together and have a beer. And I said, I don't think I can convince him to come. But
why?
I'll be there.
I can go places.
No, to the game. This was the going to the bout.
Oh,
it was supposed to be after the bout, like at the after party.
Oh, I see.
And but I thought it was awesome because that like it was my two like the two that follow me on Twitter and stuff.
So you,
and I was like, holy crap!
You went to the after party thing?
Well, I go to the bout.
Yeah.
And waiting in line, an animal mother, who's one of the two, is by there. And so I thought, you know, I'll just introduce myself at least. And she's standing there. I said, hi, I'm Tony. She's like, yeah. And keep going. But she said it like she knew. And I was like, you know already? And she says, yeah, me and Deadword Internet stalked you to make sure you were a real person.
What? Real person?
This... No, I understand the concept. You know, you're checking the internet to make sure that, like, this is an actual, like, a podcast, and that, like, you know, that it's not... I'm not purporting to be somebody that I'm not.
Okay.
And it's some sort of weirdness.
But why would they... Why would they care?
Because I could be a creepy person that shows up on Dateline or something.
Okay.
Young women have to be careful out there like, with meeting people on the internet.
Well, yeah, but this isn't about whether or not you're creepy. It's whether or not you're real.
What? Yeah, well, that's how she phrased it. But okay. I think that, you know, whether or not it would be a danger to actually have a drink with me someplace. And I was so... I felt so weird about that because I've never been internet stalked before.
As far as you know.
And on one hand, I was flattered that somebody went to the trouble. On the other hand, I was sad that they felt that need. Not personally, but that we live in such a world where
yes,
that's a thing.
Yes.
So it really kind of blew my mind. But I didn't end up going to the after party. Unfortunately, it was a party. You know, it was at a bar and there was lots of drinking and it was loud. And I hung out with a friend and we stuck around for a while, but it's just not my kind of scene. And so after a while, I kind of took off.
I see.
And I did see Animal Mother a little bit. Deadward didn't show up until much later, so I apologized to her on Twitter, but... so we didn't really make that happen, but the game itself was awesome because took a bunch of people. There were seven of us.
Oh, wow.
Me and the producer, producer's sister, who was here this weekend, partially to go to that game. I also got Dan from my gaming group, who goes to Derby a fair bit. His wife was out of town for work. And so I got him to go. I got Ben from my gaming group who had never been to Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And I got David, remember Dave of Id, listener of the show?
Yes, yes.
He and his wife Robin got them to come down. They had never been either, so it took three Derby virgins in there. And I don't know. I think everybody had a good time. I think everybody found it interesting. My suspicion is that Ben will come back, David and Robin probably not. It's more effort for them to come down from Cedar Rapids and all that stuff, so right. I don't know.
Well, they have a team up there, don't they?
They enjoyed, yeah, and I told them that, too. And, well, I have to see, but I think I've been hooked. I think everybody was into it. It's very weird. There's a new rule. Or I should say there's a new strategy.
What's that?
Well, and maybe this is what you were describing last time. They start... right up against the jammers.
Mm-hmm.
That's new.
Oh. What do you mean? Like...
I mean, like, there's the two lines, and it used to be the jammers are on one line, and the pack's up in front.
Right, and as soon as they pass that line, the whistles blow, and...
Yes.
And the jammers go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we had been talking about before was a thing where the pack doesn't move.
Or they move very slowly.
Yes. Or in some cases, well, now, because the rules state everybody has to be behind the pivot, and that the line up front is the pivot line, and the only pivot people can be on that line.
Yes.
It does not anywhere say that they have to be. So there is a new strategy where everybody basically stands on jammer line and makes a literal physical wall.
Yeah, but that's what I was talking about before. Actually, there you're right.
And they don't move at all.
Technically, there's more than one strategy going on here. There's moving very slowly. There's not moving at all. There's that.
Well, no, this was now happening every single jam.
Okay, well, yes.
And there's no moving at all. And frequently what you do is then somebody takes a knee down so that it gets declared no pack, and then the jammers are let loose.
Hmm.
But still nobody's moving. And the first 30 seconds of the jam is a bunch of people...
Right.
Not moving.
No, this is what I was talking about before. It's not new at all.
Well,
that I know of. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is the same strategy they were using when I watched it.
Okay, what I saw before didn't involve moving back. You started at your line.
Yeah.
And they started at their line.
Mm-hmm.
And you just didn't move at all, or potentially move very little. Hmm. Now everybody's just in a big squish.
Yeah, well, that's hard to say if we're talking about the same thing, but if we were watching it, you could say, is this what you were talking about? I could say yes, no, or one or the other.
Okay.
But I'm
pretty
sure
this whistle
is
blown, how much physical space is there between any member of the pack and the jammers? How much distance before any whistle is blown?
Well, the jammers set up behind a line some ways behind the pack, and then the pack sets up a little bit ahead of them, and then the first whistle is blown, and then...
Before the whistle is blown, how much distance would you say between the backpack member and the jammer?
Oh, I don't know.
Roughly.
5 feet, maybe.
Okay.
If that.
What I am talking about is a situation in which, before the whistle is blown, every member of the pack is no more than 8 inches from the jammers. Before any whistle is blown.
Oh, I see.
Blown.
They spread out quite a bit before... Oh, I get you.
Like all of the pack.
I don't remember seeing
everybody
that.
Everybody is on one line.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that
I
before.
I think it's new.
Yeah, that might be new. I don't remember seeing that.
And in fact, I've seen people bitching about it on Twitter. Because here's the thing. Unlike some strategies, it's a really easy rules fix. You just have to put something in the rule book that says, pack has to start up, the pivots have to start at the pivot line.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody has to do it, and then it's not nearly so annoying. In the meantime, I do not begrudge anybody, any team doing it if they think it's really working. I'm still not entirely sure what it's working for, but I don't begrudge them following strategy based on how the rules currently are. I think the way the rules currently are in allowing this make it for a really annoying game. So that was annoying. Otherwise, though, it became a very fascinating game because they're very evenly matched teams.
Well, who was it exactly? It was
Des Moines... something.
Okay, yeah, the Des Moines.
And
team.
It's one that they've played many times before.
Yes, yes, yes.
And every time they've won, but just barely. And this whole game, pretty much, we were a little bit ahead the whole time.
And this was the A squad playing?
Yeah. And Des Moines in particular had a really impressive jammer that was out there a lot named Stella Italiana. Guy in front of me sitting in the suicide seating claims that this might be an urban legend, he says, but that she... from Italy, and was actually like a major professional speed skater there. She was out there a lot. She was very fast. She was very good. It was very annoying. But what happened is, right in the last few minutes of the game, a couple bad things happened for us, and we actually got behind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, literally, the game came down to the last two jams. And it was unbelievably tense. And I mean, I jumped out of my seat spontaneously in enthusiasm. And I did that a little earlier than others, but other people did it shortly afterwards. It was amazing. It was an incredibly stressful ending, very exciting ending, and was awesome.
Cool. Sorry I missed it.
Yes, you are, because it was good. That's why they said you needed to come out so you could see the A-team. Since you had seen the B team.
Yeah. Well, I thought the B team was exciting to watch and they did a good job, but I mean, you know, as I explained to you, you could tell that some people were less experienced, which is fine. I mean, I didn't have a problem with that. And I think it's good that they had a chance to, you know, to skate about and to gain some experience. I mean, that's what it's all about.
And also I played, well, worked on the Dresden Files game this week.
Oh.
I have decided we are taking too long in our prep.
You've decided that, huh?
We are going a little bit crazy. We're all getting a little bit too much inside our own heads and stuff about it. So I've decided we need to begin. So I kind of was more forceful this time about moving along. And I have a plan worked out wherein next... Well, by the time you hear this, it will have passed. But what for me is next Tuesday will be our last prep session. So by the time you people hear this, the next Tuesday after hearing this will be our first actual game session.
Okay.
And we managed to stay on track for what... For this plan. I came up with this plan, and on Tuesday... We did what I set out to do on Tuesday.
Well, good luck with that. I hope it works.
I hope so, too, because it's just gone. It's been over 2 months of setting up the city and getting the characters made. That's really kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And so, and it's been very good, but we're doing it too long, and we're starting to second guess ourselves, and it's getting weird. So, we need to start actually playing. So, we'll do that soon. I'm very excited about that. I think that's all I got, really.
What's going to happen if... Now I forgot what I was going to say.
And then gives up.
No, it wasn't about popular culture or anything. It was like, I was just going to say something.
The song has nothing to do with popular culture.
Oh, I thought you said it was a...
William tries to remember something.
Oh, I thought it was something.
He tries to remember something he half remembers.
Oh.
And then gives
it up. It probably wasn't important. I don't even know what I was going to say.
I found out Harry Dresden has a Twitter feed.
Well, that's nice.
Started following it. I followed it because somebody retweeted a tweet he did that said, "Wizard needs food badly." Yeah.
That's a good one.
It was pretty nice. So I figured, what the heck? I'm up to like 47 followers.
Oh, that's good.
And somebody today retweeted something I said, somebody who doesn't know me at all and like has no connection to me retweeted something I said.
Very good.
I was pretty pleased. Still plugging away at Mass Effect 3. I now have the next Assassin's Creed, so I'm itching to play that one instead.
We started to play a little Rage.
I just read up on Rage recently.
The other day.
Because I realized I couldn't ever play it, because it's first person. Mm. And so I frequently go and read the plot lines to first person games I can never play. Looks interesting.
It is kind of. It's a little annoying for the person in my house who plays, because, you know, a woman. She likes to play games where she can customize the character to be female, and you can't do that.
It's a little bit Fallout-ish.
Well, I'm not even following why you can't. I mean, forget about customizing the character, just picking male or female. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like that would be easy just to have another...
No, especially because you're a very generic character in that.
Well, yeah.
It's like the Vault Dweller. You're the Ark Survivor.
That's right. And so... And there are other games where even if you want the character to have a specific name, make it a non-gender specific name and let the person choose male or female whatever. It would be so simple. And I realize that modules that they add that allow you to really customize the character and put your own name in can be annoying. But you know, just male and female choice with a generic, a non-gender specific name, that should be easy, but they didn't do it. And I thought, well, maybe there's something in the plot that makes it... No, I can't see anything that... They just didn't do it.
Meanwhile, I am playing a female in Mass Effect 3 and having conversations with other characters about the roles of females versus males within the different species, societies, and civilizations and what that means and things like that. And including conversations that at least in part wouldn't be possible if I was playing a male character. They obviously had to do them for each because the person's saying, well, you as a woman in this position should know.
Interesting.
So, they really do. You guys need... I know you can't play the first one, but you can play 2 and 3.
Yes, that's right.
And they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, I wonder if we should just... Oh, and you know what else we got? We got Bioshock for the PS3. Someone loaned it to us.
Oh.
That might be on the console here pretty soon.
That seems pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish I could have played that one. I never could, because, again, motion sick.
But. Yep.
Somebody gave me Fable 3, sort of.
Oh.
The next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Found. He tells me, I'm over there the other day, he's like, I got a present for you. And he goes back and he brings out a, like one of the cheap cardboard DVD things, you know, like if a company is putting out a DVD, mm-hmm. and it's not like a plastic case. And it was for a Parks Department documentary. And I'm like, thank you. And he's like, well, there's more to it. He says he found it somewhere, and he left it somewhere. He did something to find out basically if anybody would report it missing and stuff, and nobody did, so now he has it. And he's like, there's more to it. And inside, on top of the DVD of the documentary, so I still have the Parks Department documentary.
Well, thank God for that.
Is the disc of Fable 3.
Huh.
And I'm like, well, holy crap, yeah, now I'm excited. So we'll see. I might be able to avoid having to buy that.
Well, yeah, but you don't have a book or anything.
Yeah, I don't need it for that one.
Okay.
I don't think. We'll have to see. I always bought the strategy guides for the one and two, so
I might do that.
We'll have to see. I don't know. I'm getting out of that habit. It is fun when you don't know what's coming. I always like to complete everything, so I wanted the strategy guide, but I've also discovered that it can be really fun when you don't. When you just try and essentially role play it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That can be fun.
Yep.
So, I'm still pretty pleased that I never used any of the strategy guides for either Mass Effect game. Or Mass Effect. No, not Mass Effect. Although that's true there, too. Assassin's Creed.
So. Uh-huh.
Okay. Shall we do the hat?
Okay.
All right. Let's see if we can get more than one question this time.
How are submissions going to that?
Pretty good. We can always use more. Again, generally when I make a plea for submissions, like one person will write in like eight things. And like two other people will write in one each. And then nothing happens for a while. So...
Well, what does the person do if they want to write into the hat?
Write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com and try and give us a fairly succinct topic or question or something like that. And for those of you hard hats out there, I love your stuff, but when I ask for questions, you don't have to submit 12. You could do this. Try submitting one or two every week or two. That would keep us going quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not make the hat's writing hand cramp. So that might be nice.
How does the hat tell you that its hand, I imagine you're speaking figuratively, cramps?
Of course I am. Maybe it mentions it on Facebook. You don't know, the hat talks on Facebook now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Magical Talking Hat Podcast. Now, this is from Anon, but Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only person I've ever heard address the hat that way.
Was that Blue Claw?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Blue Claw. Maybe Blue Claw forgot to sign. Mm-hmm. You forget to sign, you end up anonymous.
At a movie theater, which armrest is yours? Well, to me, this isn't like asking which side of the bed you sleep on. I mean, it's like if nobody's sitting next to you, it can be either or both.
Well, but outside or inside, yeah.
And depending on who's sitting next to you, or maybe you're not a very assertive person, so if you have two people sitting next to you and they both are taking up the armrests, well, you're out of luck. I mean, I don't know.
You know, it's funny, and I went to the movies just last night, so this is a thing. I'm not conscious of what my armrest behavior is anymore. I feel like there's a time in the past where I was, and I'm a little bit more aware because I usually go with the producer, and it's her and I. So I totally have the outside one, and she has the outside one. And then we kind of negotiate for the middle frequently. We'll, like, hold hands, or one of us is on the armrest, and the other one leans on that one, or something like that. Or, and this is becoming a more common thing, with the lift-upable, that's a word, lift-upable armrests, we lift up the one in between us, and so there's not even one there.
Yeah, we almost always go with the seats where you can move the armrest up, and we don't even have one between us.
Yeah, and that's how we do. But here's the thing. Sometimes I go with groups of people,
mm-hmm.
and I can't think what I do.
If there's some kind of convention, I don't know what it is. Like, if you're sitting with six people, everybody use the one on the left or something.
No, I think it's the eternal struggle. I think it's one of those, like... you can learn a lot about a person by how hard they fight for the armrest.
Well, of course, we're not just talking about the armrest. In most movie theaters, the armrest is also where you put your beverage.
Yes.
So it could be you could have your beverage sitting in the armrest while someone else actually has their arm,
on it.
But if we're talking about, you know, whose beverage goes in which armrest, again, I don't... If there's some kind of convention, I don't know what it is.
Usually going to be on the right side because 8 out of 9 people
are right-handed, yeah.
So you put them all there. But, like, if you have... And I often don't have snacks.
Yeah, I don't either.
At a movie. We had an exception last night. We had each got... They've actually realized that I think people have stopped buying as much because they're so damn expensive. And so they've started trying to come up with other options. But also, they now have, at least ours around here, the Marcus ones, have the value pack, which is $5 for a soda and a popcorn. Mm-hmm. And neither are too big, but for one person, they're not bad. And $5 doesn't seem that crazy to me compared to most stuff. And that's what happened. We both wanted popcorn, and we're like, well, we could get one of those, $10, or the smallest something to drink and popcorn combo up there would be 2 junior drinks and a large popcorn, and it was like almost $15. And we're like, yeah, let's just do the other one. Mm-hmm. And then we had our own. There's no fighting over the box. You know, it's nice. Yeah, so I don't usually get snacks, but yeah, I would think it'd normally be your right side.
I guess.
I don't know. It's not an issue for us, Anon.
Not really.
Don't live in your world. Your world of fighting for armrests.
If anybody knows if there's some kind of convention or some rule of etiquette.
Have
rule
a strongly held opinion over armrests, go to the blog, The Magical Talking Hat, and make your voice heard or make your voice read.
Tell the rest of us rude people how it really is.
Yeah. All right. Next.
Ugh, you all right
so
there?
Tired. Ah, well, this one's definitely from Azure Talon.
Because it says so, huh?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to put it back and say, nah, we don't
know. Oh, it's so tempting. But that's not how we operate around here.
Nope.
Dear the Magical Talking Hat, in parentheses, a.k.a. David Bowie.
Oh. Well, he knows something we don't know, I guess.
I am a normal human, not an alien. Who said I wasn't? Azure Talon. As he's checking it out, you can't have it yet.
Oh, she wants to eat it. Why does she want to eat it?
Because she, like me, just gets annoyed as all hell by Azure Talon.
And she eats things she's annoyed with?
She bites them. It's one of her primary modes of attack. Bite. The other is jump on your back and go to sleep.
Did someone say Azure Talon wasn't a normal human?
No, I feel like this is probably a lyric. And in fact, it's probably a David Bowie lyric. To which I say, fuck you, Azure Talon, and the horse you rode in on. But we can theorize whether or not Azure Talon might be an alien. He's definitely not a normal human.
I was going to say, you can be a human, not an alien, and still not be a normal human.
You could also be a human and normal and an alien. If you come from a different country.
Other than here, you mean?
Other than whatever country in which you're having the conversation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Then you are an alien. And if we're at war with you, you're an enemy alien. But if we're at war with your country and we like you, then you're a friendly enemy alien. It's true. It's an actual designation of people during World War II. You were Japanese-American. You were friendly enemy alien.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure Azure Talon qualifies as a normal human. But not an alien of any kind, I don't suppose. Except to people, say, in Canada or outside the United States.
Then he's an enemy alien. He's a terrorist, you might say.
Be careful.
To Canada. He doesn't terrorize the U.S., he terrorizes Canada.
Oh.
He is fighting to...
Well, no, not Canada, Canadians.
He's fighting Canada.
No, like Canadians in the United States.
No, he's fighting for...
If he finds out you're Canadian, you're in trouble.
No. He, this is my bit. Don't ruin it. Just because I don't have it finished yet doesn't mean... He does terror attacks in Canada in order to stop...
Good comedy. Because God knows, we don't need funnier people and funnier shows and funnier comedy clubs.
I feel like there's an inordinate percentage of famous actors that are Canadian.
Well, certainly comedians, I think. I mean...
Yeah, but even just...
I don't know, maybe not so much anymore, but like when we were growing up, you know, just about all the comedians that were really popular, not all of them, but a huge number of them were from Canada.
And there's still a whole bunch. I heard an interview with Eric McCormick recently, Will from Will and Grace. He's Canadian.
I'll be
Nathan Fillion, Canadian.
Well, that I didn't know.
Yes. And of course, you know, Bill Shatner.
Well, there's we've been talking for a long time about you know, shows that we think are funny that are from Canada. I mean, recent shows.
Yeah.
If Azure Talon is protesting anything from Canada, it's got to be good comedy, because a lot of funny people come from there.
And Azure Talon is notoriously not funny.
Well, and he only likes other things that aren't like this podcast.
Hey, now. I see what you did there.
Well, you started it.
First of all, this podcast is funny. Second of all, I'm pretty sure Azure Talent does not like it.
Oh, okay. Well, then, if he doesn't like it, then it probably is funny.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see.
Not because of that. I'm saying we're funny. I'm funny. Originally, the podcast was going to be called Funny and William. But then we found a hat, and it got weird.
Okay.
That's what the book should be called when we write the memoir later.
Yes.
It said, but then we got a hat, and it got weird.
Right.
Then we found a hat. Weird.
Funny and William.
And William. All right. Maybe that'll be the episode title.
Okay, good. Wow, this is just working out great for you. Well, this has been digested.
Gross.
And yet it's from Azure Talon. I really think Anon was from him, too. So I think so far he's 3 for 3.
This is not good, people. You should write more. But more specifically, Azure Talon should write less.
The hotel I'm in offers complimentary beer with dinner. Is it in poor taste to skip the small glass and use my own 32-ounce BK cup?
Okay, first of all, I feel like you're a liar.
I don't... Wait, hold on. You mean complimentary beer, but you provide your own cup?
No, they provide you with a glass, it seems, but it's too small. And he has a glass from Burger King.
And he can pour it in...
So he
can
just
it's empty.
Fill it up that way.
Oh.
So, first of all, I think you're lying. Because what hotel gives complimentary beer?
I don't know.
Second of all, yes, it's in poor taste. Third of all, is it good beer? If it's good beer, then go for it anyway. But still, a BK cup, I feel like you could do better. I mean...
You could do better?
Drinking...
What, a McDonald's cup? What do you
snagging
mean?
Snagging free beer out of a Burger King cup is just very low class.
Right, well, what else? I mean, a 32-ounce cup, like from Quick Trip or something?
Stein. A 32-ounce Stein.
Okay, I suppose.
Something not made out of wax-covered paper.
Well, a 32-ounce cup is always going to be one of those plastic ones, probably.
No, they make 32-ounce other things.
Really?
This thing's 54.
Okay, but that's plastic.
But it's not made out of paper.
No, that's what I'm saying. Didn't you just say that his 32-ounce cup was probably made out of paper? Wax-covered paper.
Wax-covered paper.
Yeah, but I'm saying the 32-ounce BK cup probably is plastic.
Oh, yeah, but is that cheap plastic? I'm talking... Here's what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying?
Don't use a cup that if you weren't about to fill it with free beer and it was empty, you would throw it away.
Oh, well, I don't know what people throw away.
They throw away cups from fast food places.
But plastic ones? Big plastic ones? I thought they kept those and refilled them. Or you could refill them for, you know, 50 cents or something.
Yeah, but they still throw them away.
Oh. But not something like what you've got like there.
A cup or a mug or a glass that you would actually... People pay money for to buy the cup, not to buy the stuff in it.
That how big is like that thing?
This one is 51 ounces.
What do you have in it?
Water. Oh. I only ever put water in there. And that's why, and it's insulated, so I fill it with ice in the morning before I go to work, and I can refill it multiple times in the day, and there's still ice, so it stays cold.
How nice!
And in fact, now that's from earlier today, still, and I've refilled that like 3 times already.
Awesome.
So yes, you're making us all look bad. Stop it! I can't believe it's very good beer.
If they're giving it away, I've never heard of anyone giving away beer.
Go to the store.
Well, yes, but I mean, not like that.
Yeah, that seems weird. But if it's really good beer, well, also, just drink multiple little glasses if you really have to. But go to the store and buy some damn beer. Like,
or don't.
You're a grown up.
I recommend not drinking beer, but.
Sorry, I was shocked.
Shut up.
That William the Beerman. Right. I actually worked for a little time with a guy whose last name was Beerman.
I'm sure he was very proud.
He was apparently very popular in college and not too pleased with that.
Oh, okay. I think I would have changed my name.
You did?
No, I've never been named Beerman.
William Beerman.
No.
No. William. Then William Halliburton. And then later, William.
It's a long, tragic story. It's a long, tragic story of the bad names I've picked.
My search for a last name. Title of William's second book. Title of William's first book. Why did I say fifth book?
You haven't
written your fifth book yet.
No.
Title of William's first book was It Takes a Village. But he was unable to get it published because somebody else published under that name.
Yep. Who will remain
so he called it Twilight and Ers.
Shut up. Don't make a big deal out of it. Why don't we draw another thing here?
Instead of mocking you.
Torturing ourselves.
What do you mean ourselves? I'm just torturing you. Again with the Azure Talent. Seriously, people, help us out.
Yeah, I really do think...
For just 14 cents a day...
I really do think that
you can stop us from reading another Azure Talent thing. Dear Hat Thralls, D&D 5th Edition, Angry Mob now or after release? Azure Talon.
Well, has it been released?
No, it's in beta test, but it's in public beta test. Let me just clear this up now. The intensity with which I do not care... what D&D 5th edition or D&D next, as they call it, ends up looking like is palpable. Like, is... I really actively, aggressively don't give a damn. Like, I have not played D&D forever. I'm not interested in playing D&D. I'm a huge gamer. If I want fantasy, I have other sources. I will never, unless you all tell me it is literally the best RPG you've ever played, I won't ever touch it, and I don't care.
What's so different about it? I mean, what could be...
When they put out the 4th edition, it caused a great deal of controversy.
But why?
Because they drastically changed the system in a way that certain people felt... made the game a heck of a lot more like playing World of Warcraft or something like that.
So why don't you just...
play with the old set that you already
had?
Good question.
It's not like... I can understand if it's part three of a video game and you want to, I mean, this is more of a suggestion than a, I mean, you don't have to do it. And if there are new characters or new whatever, you can incorporate that into the old system if you feel like it. I mean, what's the big deal?
There are a couple of arguments, potentially. Not good ones, but this is me playing devil's advocate here.
Are you in retainer with the devil?
Well, it's D&D, so the devil's involved.
Oh.
So.
But I'm just saying. I mean, does the devil give you, like, a certain amount of money and then...
I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Oh, you're... Okay, well...
I sound an NSA.
Okay.
Or an NDA.
Advocate devil confidentiality, I guess.
There are two potential arguments. One...
Your Honor.
...that I think is the weakest.
You could call me Your Honor while you're doing this.
You really don't want to actually know the answer,
Since you're
you?
Playing devil's advocate, aren't I technically the judge?
No.
Shouldn't you call me Your Honor while you're playing devil's advocate?
Okay, Your Honor... Damn thing is if they go to a new version and you like the old version and you don't like the new version, technically there's no more support for your old version.
Support?
Yes. So nobody writes any new books about cool worlds in which to play. Nobody comes up with new classes that fit into your game. Nobody creates any errata for screwed up rules that have controversy.
I object. Wait, I can't object.
No.
Sorry. Sustained. I mean, over... what do I say?
You are the worst judge ever.
Well, I'm new at this.
Steven Tyler is better judge than you.
But hold on a second. That just seems to... It's like... Okay, so... They come up with a new system. You don't like it. You use the old system and maybe adapt a few things from the new system to make it fit. And what you're saying is nobody's right. You just have to... They write new things for the new system and you just have to keep adapting, it sounds to me like.
Potentially. Adapting can get hard at a certain point, especially if it's a drastic difference. Well, with some of these, there's backstory. There's history involved. In the case of 4th edition, they outright changed... the history of, like, some of the races and things, and change the way the races operate, got rid of some races and things like that.
Well, then don't play it at all. I mean, then, if it's that different, who cares?
I didn't say I agreed with this argument. I'm saying this is one of them. The other argument that I don't necessarily agree with either, but I do think is a stronger one, is whatever the dominant version is, especially when it's D&D, tends to be what people are playing. So if you go to the gaming store looking for a game, or if you're trying to find a gaming group around there, the odds are much stronger that they're going to be playing the current iteration.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so would the prosecution like to rebut your comments?
Well, I think it's come up before. When before 4th edition came out, people were so happy with 3.5... that a different company took the open gaming license and made a new version called Pathfinder. That's essentially 3.5 D&D. And it's become hugely popular and eaten a tremendous amount of Wizards of the Coast market share.
So, why make these drastic changes? I mean, what do they hope to accomplish?
Well, theoretically, with this edition, they're trying to fix the stuff that pissed people off.
But why change all those things in the first place? Did they think they would sell more games by making
these
changes?
Absolutely, because at a certain point, you've saturated the market. Everybody has the Player's Handbook. Everybody has the Dungeon Master's Guide. You're still selling your guide to the fifth lowest plane or whatever other shit you're putting out. But really, what you want to do is retool the whole thing, and then everybody has to buy it all over again.
But they don't have to. That's the whole point. I mean, that.
But they do buy it.
But why?
For the reasons just mentioned. And because people want the new thing.
No,
the same
reason
people buy
just,
the new iPhone.
The reasons you just mentioned, one being, well, you know, no one's going to be writing any new stuff in your little thing. Well, that doesn't matter. And the thing about, well, you're not going to be able to find other people to play with because they're going to be playing the new version and it. But if nobody does that, then that's not a problem either. How do they know people are going to buy it? I mean, people just buy it?
It's like,
But why? If they don't want it or if they don't like it.
The same reason people buy the new version of the iPhone.
No, that's different. The iPhone might have extra features or...
They try and convince you that the new game does. All the stuff we didn't do right before, now we're doing it right. With fourth edition, it was all about game balance. Because in third edition, there are certain classes that if you do it right, way overpower the other ones. And so certain classes are just totally not effective up against different ones, and is not balanced. And 4th edition, totally balanced. Also, 3rd edition, or 3.5, very complicated. Lots of number crunching, lots of math, lots of dumb stuff. For people who just want to play it, 4th edition, much simpler, much more straightforward and streamlined in its layout.
Okay, but that just tells me that people who don't want to do a lot of number crunching get the 4th edition, and the people that like the way it was, they just keep it. And if everything's out of balance, well... If you're skilled at doing these things, you can make the adjustments to make it balance. I mean,
yeah, but not everybody's willing to put that work in.
Not willing to put the work in.
To take a system and adapt it, especially if they think that the other system is going to have it.
I guess I don't know enough about all this stuff to even understand.
Let me say, I said 4th edition pissed off a lot of people. A lot of people thought it was wonderful. It was incredibly polarizing.
And this just all seems weird. I mean, for something where you're mostly making everything up, it seems like it would be very hard for them to do something.
You got to remember, not everybody plays a role-playing game the way you think people do. Because the way you think people play role-playing games is largely based on how you think I play role-playing games, which is not inaccurate, but that's also why I'm not playing D&D. For some people, it's a very different experience, and you get a lot of stuff out of it. People want... the new numbers. People want the balancing stats.
So what you're saying is that for some people, it really is very much like getting a new part two of a video game. Because they're going to follow whatever rules and whatever somewhat slavishly and or at least that's what they want to do. That's part of the fun. They don't have to think about this, that, or the other thing. The book thinks about it for them.
There's official RPG association out there where you... go where there are set adventures and people can go and play in them and they get set rewards and there's like a whole series of them that are like that have rules and you play this exact adventure. Like there's a whole association where you could play in adventure 5 of this path with these people and you could go to someplace totally different and you would be ready for adventure 6 and it essentially would play out the exact same way.
Wow.
Which is totally counter to everything I want in a role-playing game. And that's the extreme version, but that's some of the shit we're talking about here.
I get it.
There are people who buy 4th edition because they're pissed off that their 3.5 sorcerer cannot stand up to a druid. And they don't like that. They hate that their friend who plays druids is always way more powerful.
But, again, couldn't they just play a druid, or couldn't they just adapt the system?
They love sorcerers, though.
Right. Couldn't they just adapt it? Because it's not, again, this is the part that's not like a video game. If I want to play a sorcerer, not a druid, and the video game is just stupid, I can't go in and fiddle with the programming to fix it.
Say,
but if it's a role-playing game, I can mess with the stats and I can do what I want.
My sorcerer is way underpowered against Wally's druid here. We gotta up this stuff and this stuff. Wally says, dude, that's totally not fair. Then you're way overpowered than me. You're just nerfing the crap. We're like, okay, we'll take away some of your stuff. No, that makes me too weak. Remember, 13-year-olds are playing.
Right, I see what you're saying,
adults
but...
adults who play like 13-year-olds.
But if the book essentially does the same thing, why care about what the...
it's a completely different system.
No, I get that, but... Why do two people have to have a book tell them how to fix that, balance that out? Why can't they figure it out?
Because they're petty and competitive.
If they're so petty and competitive, why would a new system that equals things out, why would they not even want to get... The druid guy would say, no, don't get that book because it screws up everything and the druids aren't as powerful. Or I suppose that is what they say.
Yes.
And then, but the sorcerer guy wants... I get it, okay.
And the gaming group breaks up over it. Dude, this shit happened. The 4th edition D&D was like the Civil War, like brother against brother shit. It was ugly.
Well,
And I never played any of them.
I guess...
And I don't care.
I'll dismiss the jury and then come back and deliver their verdict on whether or not the devil's guilty. But I'm pretty sure I know how it's going to end up.
There is an argument, and I understand it, that D&D is the dominant game, and where so goes that game in terms of membership and success, so goes the RPG community. And that if D&D dies completely, and a couple other games like that die completely, maybe the RPG hobby doesn't go anywhere. I appreciate that. I still don't give a damn, because
seems
you know what?
Hardly
I'm
likely.
Not involved in the RPG community.
No, that seems
I'm playing
unlikely.
With my friends.
But wait now. What's really at issue with D&D 5th edition? Is it just the anticipation that they're going to do something, screw something up like they did with the 4th edition? Or
yeah, and there's some... Based on what they said, there's some belief that they're going to do too much of trying to please everybody and mm-hmm. therefore pleasing nobody.
Well, yeah, I...
But mostly just when new shit comes out, people are like, oh, yeah, it's good.
I realize that D&D is important to the origins of the RPG community and to its continued existence, I'm sure. But if D&D, like, died tomorrow, there's plenty of games out there. I really don't think it would be such a big deal.
But in terms of what they're selling, Hero System, which is a big, big RPG system, recently had to shrink itself down to one employee because it was not selling well enough. There are, like, two or three RPG companies that are financially successful.
Well, yes, but isn't... why do you think that is? I mean, isn't that because other forms of media are doing... you know, there aren't new people probably catching on to RPG. Like the kids that grew up in my house, if they want to play an RPG, they play a video game RPG, which I realize isn't anything close to what you're talking about, but that's perfectly adequate to
and
them.
And the group, the organization, the company that is doing the most to try and pull people in is Wizards of the Coast and D&D.
Oh, I see.
Because they are in every gaming shop, because there are kids already playing it out there. There's tons already there, and they get their friends involved. People walk into a gaming shop, and they're already being played because there's RPG.
So they're
events.
Like the backbone.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
They are, I hesitate to say, too big to fail.
Well, but
as it were.
But that can't last forever, I mean.
Well, I just don't care. And maybe part of it's because I don't have kids that I worry about if they'll be gamers. I've got my friends, and I don't even... I like going to cons. It's kind of fun. But I don't want to play D&D. And I got my friends. And my friends and I will play what games we want to play. And if I lose these friends, I'll find other friends. They won't be D&D playing friends. If I am stuck with playing nothing or playing D&D, I might play if it was convenient enough. But if I was like... Say if I was stuck between playing nothing or running D&D, I would probably just play video games and be really sad that I wasn't RPGing anymore. Hmm. I'm just not interested in D&D. I don't play a lot of that fantasy stuff anyway, and if I did, there's other game systems I would use instead. So,
well, there's either way, there's probably no reason to mob until you have a reason to mob. So I suppose if your question is angry mob now or after release, well, wait till after,
well,
if you feel like it.
And people
don't forget
have seen
about it.
A fair bit of it now. The beta has come out, and that's part of the thing. It's part of why I'm a little bit bitter about this. Is people won't shut up about it right now. On Twitter, on Happy Jacks, like, people keep talking about it, and I just don't care.
And we just talked about it for a very long time. Mostly, though, because I don't know anything about it, so I'm asking
And
because
you
questions.
Insisted on me calling you Your Honor.
Well, that's because you were playing Devil's Advocate. Now, next time I'm playing Devil's Advocate, I'll call you Your Honor.
What was the... I think it was Simpsons? I mean, it usually is, so probably... Where somebody's like, may I play Devil's Advocate? And they say yes, and they turn and it's a pinball machine called Devil's Advocate, and they start playing it. I think it was The Simpsons. I think Homer did that one time. I always liked that.
I thought you were going to say, may I please play Devil's Advocate? And the other person said, sure, how's it go?
Also good. Or only if I can
I'm
sing along.
I'm a Devil's Advocate.
What rhymes with advocate? That is tricky.
I'm sure I could come up with something eventually.
Okay, we haven't quite pulled off an hour, but I think we should end it because it's getting late and the battery's wearing down on the computer.
Okay.
This is what you get with a part two,
folks. And it's just been Azure Talon all night anyway.
Yeah, and we are really sick of that. Except possibly Anonymous. If somebody Anonymous wasn't Azure Talon, we apologize. Or William apologizes.
I do.
For calling you Azure Talon.
Although I think it was
him.
I try
not to call people Azure Talon.
I think it was
I think it's rude to call people Azure Talon.
Even Azure Talon?
Yeah, but I hate him, so I'm fine with it. If you would like us to write or to talk about your shit and not Blue Claw's shit, you should write the Magical Talking Hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, like us on Facebook. The Hat has been known to leave comments on Facebook. Also, go to our blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and see what people like to say about this, including a minute-by-minute play-by-play from Blood Sparrow while she listens to the episode.
Which is always fun.
Mostly fun.
I don't know.
What I'm going to say always.
I think they're great
mostly
fun.
We love her. She arguably might be a hard hat number two. I don't know. And eventually, although he's been a little bit behind lately, eventually Mark Hard Hat number one will give us his entire rundown. I was a little bit worried lately. He frequently seems to do it closer to the next episode, but he gets in there. He gets his business. There's a lot of people. Producer comments on there. So if you want her side of the terrible things I say about her, then you can get that there. And also follow me on Twitter. I'm basically like this, but in shorter bursts. So you can follow me on Twitter at NotQuiteTony. I crave fame and external validation, so help me out with that.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you in 2 weeks for us, 1 week for you. So stay out of trouble till we get back.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.